This is the Closer and Closer podcast, where we bring creatives from all over the world together for you to learn from, relate to, and be inspired by. As fun as creativity is, we know it can get really lonely. So our LA-based agency is bridging that gap with weekly conversations with inspiring creatives to help you grow your career. Let's get started. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the artist marketing and partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. Today, I have my wonderful director here as my co-host, Mr. Caton Vance.
Thank you, Andrea. As Andrea said, I'm Caton Vance. I'm the marketing partnerships director. I'm also a curious human being, but that is enough about me for right now. I'm really excited to introduce Jiaqi Wang to you guys. She's a Chinese-born, newly New York-based illustrator and animator. She loves using strong lines with equal weight, surrounding flat colors, and giving equal priority to every element in a drawing, whether in the background or foreground. Sometimes she uses perspective, quirky characters, and moving images to add more to the narrative. You can catch her work from the corner of magazines to somewhere on the walls of your city. When she is not working, she watches all kinds of documentaries and reads graphic novels.
Welcome to the pod, Jiaqi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so excited to have you back on. I think it's been about a year now since we had you on the podcast. So things have definitely changed for you. I know you have some exciting life updates. So yeah, my first question for you is just like, tell us a little bit about what you've been up to since our last conversation.
When did we talk? I hardly remember when did we did a podcast, but yeah, life been great. So I was like a huge step into my life. Also, I purchased a condo. I feel like it's probably the most adult thing I ever did.
Yeah. I can't
purchasing
even imagine.
A house is definitely a very big adult move. Is this your first home purchase?
Yes, definitely.
Wow. And in Brooklyn?
It's in Brooklyn.
Wow, that's a big deal. When did this happen?
It's just like me and my partner was talking about trying to move to the city and not really. It's just felt like LA is good. It's something iffy about that place. We are not like 100% feel like it's home. So friend of mine, Janice, also on the roster, she moved to New York last year. So we visited.
Oh, Janice,
yeah. So we felt like this vibe is just so good. Yeah. What we're looking for. And we visited a couple of times, feel like it's a time just move to New York. But we are just kind of tired of paying rent for someone that this property doesn't really belong to us. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Especially in New York City.
Yeah,
it's crazy
right
here.
Yeah, so crazy.
Well, so congratulations. Yeah,
absolutely. Congratulations. So it's been about a year since you're on the podcast. Obviously, the new purchase of a new home, moving to New York, all really new things. Talk about the work, though, in the last year. How do you feel like work has been going for you in general in the last year?
I think probably it's maybe my style. And I was trying to get out of tech company range, trying to step in more like other life related product illustration. I don't know which category you can say that, but because there's a lot of food illustration I did, and I think it's like basically street art stuff, mural design. Mm-hmm. Right, it's probably like last year the first time to do big mural as well, which is good.
Yeah. Was that something that you were looking to do that you were really excited about? And like, how was that process? We just had a presentation before this call with Evan Wesselman, and he was talking about how the first mural he did, he was like, for some reason, I just like didn't even think about projections. And so he just like doodled on a big wall. So I'd love to hear like how that process was for you of like figuring out how to make a big mural work and like, yeah, just getting to that point.
Because I'm really crazy about characters. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about mural always like a really big canvas. I really want to just do like a super busy scene with character. That's one of my first go-to idea. Mm-hmm. And I do sketches. I won't just doodle on a wall. It's just too much. It's kind of mm-hmm. scary.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love that.
So I've got a question for you. This is mostly because I'm new to Closer and Closer, but also I'm curious about when you joined the Closer and Closer roster and entered this scene, where were you in your career? And what has it been like being on the roster since you joined the team here?
It probably was like way before COVID. 2019. And I think I just ended my full-time job. And I don't know what to do. And I was just freelancing around, and I take every project coming to my email box.
You just said yes to everything.
Yeah, basically everything. And there's some like crazy deadline. I did this animation for the platform was like for K-2 grade, like kids to learn language and grammar stuff. And they want to use like a really fun ways to introduce language to kids. So they want to mix with a rapper and animation, like play the song in the class, and then they can just have a fun with learning new words. So there's an animation talking about plurals and nouns. So the rapper that paired with me, she did a great job. And so I felt like I need to do really nice for that. But budget was really low, super tight, and it's probably around 3 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. It was a big project.
I know. But, I mean, I love doing animation. Oh, and that time I was, like, thinking. I was trying to develop my new styles. And I was thinking doing like new style for illustrations really easy because introduce some color, new character design. But while you're trying to animate them, it's kind of like a stepping out of the really comfortable zone of myself because I'm doing like outline now. So how you animate outline and without outline is totally different.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do that for that animation. Turns out it's okay. And I'm looking at it, it's not good. But before that, I was like really proud.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So when you joined pre-COVID in like 2019 and with that project, was that project with Closer and Closer or was that right before that? Or what was like the inciting incident and why you signed up to the roster?
It's before signing to roster.
Yeah.
And I was just at that time just taking every job and freelancing in different studios. And there's a lot of time. So I decided to just do all illustrations and developing new styles. So one day I was like trying to update my Behance. And I realized one thing, my Behance just suddenly become super popular. And there's a, I don't know, millions like, I don't know what's going on. And then I checked it, they featured my work.
Nice.
And probably this is the first time they featured my work.
That's awesome. Cool.
That's really cool.
And Drew just emailed me.
That's great. So it happened fast, huh? It was just like randomly one day you woke up and you had all these people watching you on Behance and you had people, you know, coming after you for representation and stuff. Like, that must have been really exciting.
Yeah, of course, because I never thought of Behance have that power. I always want to be represented because I don't really like do paperwork and I don't know how to say numbers. And I was like, Drew is first the one come. So I stick with my rules. First come, first serve.
That's so funny. That's so funny. You're just a tale of, first come, first serve, get it done, say yes, let's go.
Cool.
And it's working out. I mean, you're crushing it here and you're definitely, Like, yeah, I remember when I first started on the team 2 years ago, like everyone was like, oh, you got to see Jachi. She's crazy. Like, she just churns out work like no one's business. She's a complete shark.
That's awesome.
And yeah, you're just so impressive. So it's been so fun watching you, even just in the last 2 years since I've been here, like blossom and just completely transform too. It's been
so
great.
Nice of you.
It's been great. And this kind of leads me to my next question. Like I said, like even when I first started here 2 years ago, you were already kind of like, you know, just a machine when it came to illustration and like absolutely killing it. And that star has only risen since then, since those two mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think a lot of it, like there's certain things that when I look at you, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. Like you're, you know, super prolific. You're always turning out work. You say yes to the right projects. I love this like awareness that you had of your style even early on of like, okay, I need to make these adjustments and it's going to be a lot more work for me, but I'm going to do it because I know it's going to be better. Mm-hmm. So first I just wanted to ask, like, what is a career moment? And it might've been that early project or when you blew up on Behance, but is there another career moment or maybe it's that one where you were like, wow, I made it. And what do you think were some crucial steps that got you to that point? So like any tools, character traits that you have, like things that you specifically worked on that you think you wouldn't have gotten there without?
I think a lot moment. I'm pretty much excited about every project I worked on.
Really?
Uh-huh. You know, it's kind of weird. People saying it's a job, mm-hmm. but of course I love my job. And it's super weird. I feel like I can learn from client feedback and a brief.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would say favorite and the thing that really changed my life, I don't think it's happened yet, but the one thing like, kind of changed probably was like the food illustration I did for DoorDash.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, probably it's because food.
Yeah.
Loves that. And because it's a food, so it's leaning into a little bit research, kind of culture related, and you kind of need using right color, contrast, proportion wise.
Yeah.
Wow. So you don't feel like you made it until just like wasn't that just like last year that you did that DoorDash product?
I got a word from that project too.
Yeah. So.
Super happy about that.
Wow, that's so fascinating for me to hear, because I would figure that maybe that was like even before you got representation or in like previously, but it's so interesting to hear that you actually still are grateful for every project and you still feel like you haven't arrived. I think there's a lot of lessons in just that perspective alone for anybody that's listening to just realize that like even someone that yourself, they're like, I look at you and go like, you're top of the pile. Like I look at Jachi and goes like, she's like what every illustrator is trying to be when it comes to like prolific work, really great clients, doing what she loves and like working all the time. And like, I go like, that's really impressive. But like, I think your attitude might have a lot to do with this, the success you have, because you're approaching everything from a pretty like filled with gratitude perspective. Which I find super fascinating.
That's so sweet. I think so, because right now I feel like, yeah, it's like a certain thing you still draw, but sometimes you kind of tweak a little bit detail. You're trying to make that better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do every time.
I love that. And I think that's so great. Yeah, I think that's another thing that you mentioned that I really loved was that you love every project that you do. And I think that is because like you just put so much effort into it. Like the research part is something that I never really thought about, but that's just like that extra level of effort that clients really appreciate, right? Like knowing that you're going to go in and you're going to do the best job you possibly can. And you're going to research colors and what the right, you know, what the right cultural position or whatever cultural context is of the project. I think that's like what really puts you at a different level with your clients too.
Yeah.
And what gets them coming back. I have a question about the food projects later on, but I'll let Caitlin, or I'll kind of hand it off to Caitlin and see if he has anything for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm in this vein, I'm super curious, just like, how do you know when to say yes to a project and when to say no? Because I think you might have some, I'm assuming you have to say no sometimes because there's no way to say yes to everything under the sun still. But what helps you decide between the yes and no of a project?
It's a really funny thing you mentioned this. Me and my friend are having this meme going on. Like, so the new project's coming and are you busy? And the line goes to yes and a no. Of course, if you are not busy, you're taking it. And but I always go to yes. So I can't stop it. But I mean, I got a project. I see the brief. The first thing I'm asking, it's not like actual budget. It's just something that did I work on this before? Let's say they wanted me to draw a bunch of cooker chef. And I feel like I never draw a chef. So maybe I'm going to take it. But if like they come saying it's something like related, I already did it. Then I will look into my time and the budget.
Okay. So it's really about interest for you. If it's like, if it's got some novelty or if it's new, something that you can like really sink your teeth into and like explore, you're going to try your best to say yes. But really, if it's something that you've done a few times, that's really if you're going to weigh the budget or the timeline and that kind of thing.
Right.
That makes a ton of sense. I think that's pretty wise. Yeah. And then I'm also, I know you say you rarely say no to a project, but how do you try to make each of them successful? Because if you're approaching them from like a new perspective, how do you keep that fresh when you are saying yes to all those new things?
Well, it's kind of hard. I'm still working on that. Like you can't really reuse your character for sure. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of trying to step away from the character pose you did before. So that's why I started to play with perspective, because always flat, it's really boring. Then I started into perspective, and if you compare my work right now and probably 3 years ago, the lips and mouth, probably the face shape, kind of different as well, proportional, so I changed a little bit. So it's kind of always changing, but in the same style.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think people that have seen your work would be able to be like, oh, yeah, that's Jachi, because you've got a very, very unique perspective that you bring to that work. But it makes sense that you're messing with things to you that probably seem like big deals, but probably the audience is not going to notice as much because you obviously are living with it every day with all these different projects. Right. But like that, it makes sense from like proportions, lips, eyes, gestures, like those are things that you can change and probably sustain the same voice.
Right. Keep it fresh and keep in reason, like how the body moves, how dynamic the energy is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
How do you make sure that you do that? Like, how do you make sure that you keep it realistic? Because I know some artists on the roster will like literally pull out their phone and like take pictures of themselves. Some of them will just like Google. What's your process like behind that?
I will take a photo of myself for sure. And all my friends. And I do a thing right now. Also, it's a benefit of you living in the city. I take like a random picture on the way when I go out. So people have weird thing going on. I just took it. Yeah. I won't share it to anyone, probably just as a reference when I just draw it.
That's so amazing. Funny. You're literally pulling from your real life, but you just like randomly just have your phone out just taking photos of people as they like walking.
I do that. So I took a bunch of photos, like really cool girls group. Like I remember these three girls that like dressed so well, and a wild girl was like smoking outside. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. So I took it.
So if you live in New York City and you're part of a really cool group of friends of like three girls, if you later see your work or some characters in Jachi's work where you're like, that might be me, it very well could be.
It might be.
Might be.
My favorite is when you put Olivia and her dog in your project. That always gets me. I get so hype every time. Olivia is one of our agent producers here at CNC.
It's awesome. So in that same vein, so it, like you're making these little shifts and changes in your work. I'm curious, like what changes have you made to your career that you attribute some of your success to? So those like little subtle changes, obviously in that work, but like maybe bigger picture, like some decisions that you've made, like maybe move into New York. But I'm more curious around your like illustration career. What changes have you made that you would like want to talk about that you think the audience would like?
I never started as illustrator. I started as animator. I think it's probably like the biggest change in my life. I always thought I gonna animate to the end of my life. And I was like learning how to do like a lot animation, how to make keyframe smooth pose stuff. Probably that's why I really love to draw character too. And then I just one day I got an opportunity to do like illustration, and for some reason it's just making so much sense to me. It's just so smooth going into that direction. And I realized it's also, you're knowing animation, and when you draw stuff, it's a kind of really benefit to me as well. That change has probably happened 5 years ago, but recent, I don't think there's much changing going on. I was thinking that too. Did I ever make any changes recently for my career? Probably just moving and sign up an agent. And this year I started learning how to say no.
Yes.
Off job.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think all three of those is really important for anybody in regards to like, you got to change the scenery. You're learning how to say no, and you shifted like just from strictly one discipline to you have another discipline as well. Because it's not like your animation is like completely dead for you, because there's still some projects, obviously, you could probably bring some of your skills to, probably not as much, but it's still true that you can bring movement to some of your work still.
That's true. I still love animation. If one day I can just do animation job, like having a team, telling something, that type of stuff, it's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sorry, you were going to say something, Andrea. I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, Caton, I know you've listened to every episode of the podcast, and if you're out there and you're also an avid listener, you'll remember Jachi's last episode, which I checked while we were talking. It was in June of last year, which is crazy. But that whole episode, it was so funny because I was like, how do you like balance your work and your life? Like, you have so much work that you're constantly doing, and your answer every time was like, I don't balance. Like, I don't have a balance. I never say no. I just work all the time, but I like doing it. So I'm so proud to hear that you're now finding that balance. And I wanted to ask, like, how have you done that? And what is it now that's kind of keeping you from saying yes to everything?
That's a great question.
I think a talk to your friend and a partner help a lot, especially you're living with someone and they see what you're doing every day. And probably just one day randomly they point out what they saw every day you did. And you suddenly just go into this really deep mode. What I'm doing in my life. I'm just like literally sitting here pretty long hours. It's not good for my house. It's not good for maybe keeping relationship with like your close one. So it's like the call.
Yeah.
So I need a change. So I start doing like some sports, and then realize if I turning down those projects actually make me pretty happy.
I don't. Oh, wow.
Out, there's a deadline next week. I need to work on this. So weekend, there's no night out. I need to stay here and finish that job. And when you start like a turning two or three project, like those that are not like really necessary to you, I'm pretty happy. I'm like, wow, that's a new word. I can hang out.
You actually discovered that you could find time for the other things in your life that actually give you some joy as well. Instead of sitting at your drawing board for or your desk or wherever you do your work, you actually are finding time to like invest in your close friends. It sounds like, what kind of sports are you playing now that is like giving you some act, so you're not just sitting hunched over an iPad or a sketch pad? What are you doing to move your body?
I'm into tennis right now, and in the winter we go to skateboarding.
Really? You're into tennis and skateboarding or snowboarding?
You're so cool.
Snowboarding, I'm sorry. It's snowboarding.
Still cool. Yeah, I was like, wow. All right, so you're a cool artist and you do cool activities like tennis and snowboarding. Got it. Andrea, we got to step up our game.
I know. I literally don't do anything.
So fun.
I know. My mom told me too many horror stories about snowboarding when I was younger. I don't know why.
That's so much
fun,
though.
She really didn't like it. I know.
I heard that, too.
Right?
Uh-huh.
She really was scared of me snowboarding for some reason. But yeah, I also... This is a total tangent, but as a kid, I made my mom stop going snowboarding every season because my hair would get too tangled and I didn't like that. So
I
stopped snowboarding at like 10. Cool. Well, anyways, back to Jachi. I do want to touch on the food stuff because I think it's so interesting. Again, when we talked last year, I think you either had just done the board game for DoorDash or... Mm-hmm. You were about to do it, something like that. I think you had just done it.
Maybe done it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember I had that in my old apartment and I loved it. I think now it's back home. But yeah, since then, like you've done so many food projects with like DoorDash, Oscar Mayer, et cetera, et cetera. Like you are the food queen now all of a sudden. First of all, is food something that you're passionate about as a person individually outside of your work?
Definitely not. I like going out eat, but because I'm vegetarian, so there's a limited choice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, before I don't really walking out. So, you know, metabolism, it's kind of slow. Mm-hmm. You don't really have big appetites. It's just like, okay, let's go eat. That's not that strong feeling about food.
That's so funny. You just kind of landed there by mistake. Yeah, so can you tell me about how you kind of got into illustrating food then? If it's not, you know, if it wasn't like a passion of yours, mm-hmm. What got you into this pretty specific niche?
Well, you know, when you draw food, I'm kind of into food a lot right now.
Yeah.
So how it happened was, I think they saw one illustration of mine that I drew a hand that was kind of reaching out a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, because I took a photo when me and my friend hung out. I feel like the table set up was pretty cool, so I took a photo. And when I just started drawing that and I posted, probably they saw that pretty cool. So start drawing food, and then another DoorDash food related illustration came seeing. And I learned so much about that project. Like I mentioned, color and the food culture stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that time also I read a book called Crying in H Mart. It's a book about memoir. The author, she's trying to write about food and also what remember her about her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, wow.
Passed away before. And so it's kind of, when you're reading it, it's kind of tearing up, but also kind of hungry. So
two mixed emotions right there, crying and hungry.
and I read that book and I was like drawing food and reminded me so much about my family as well. So it's a thing that I really love doing right now, drawing food. And doing some dish that my mom created when I was young, and I take a photo for her. Like, is that right?
That's so cute. Mm-hmm. She's like your reference, your I don't know, there has to be a word for that job, but that's really adorable. And I love that.
I was going to say, didn't you do like for Closer and Closer, you did a little tour of some of the food spots that people like to go to or something like that? I feel like you were illustrating something for like the city guides that we requested, and you did some like food for that as well, which is pretty interesting, like the different restaurants that are near you. Was that, I believe so?
Dennis did that.
Was Janice, did Janice do that? Well, there we go.
No, yeah, but I think it's such an interesting niche, and I love that it kind of brought out that love inside of you that maybe you didn't have before. You kind of found a new passion, which is awesome.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, every job, you kind of learn from that, finding out what you really are as well.
Mm-hmm.
Think of what type of thing you don't like and what type of thing you're really interested.
Absolutely. And I think that's such like a positive ability that you have, is to find the good in every situation. You know, even if it's not your favorite project, you're still pulling out a learning, whether it's something you loved or something that you don't want to do again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
In that vein, I'm super curious. A lot of artists struggle with burnout and struggle with like continuing that inspiration. It sounds like you get curious enough, and like all it takes sometimes is just a photo of your friend's hand, and that's going to send you down a new pathway of interest. Or it's you know, a group of girls in New York smoking, and that you take a photo of that, and like that's going to send you down a different path of interest. But like, I'm curious for you, what keeps you going when it comes to creating so much work? Like, what is the thing that keeps you fueled for the next day of work in general? Because I think a lot of artists struggle with that continuous pace. So like, how do you get the fuel to keep going?
It's a pretty hard question.
I'm good at those. I'm good at those questions.
Can I just like talk about my feeling? Maybe not really specific on it.
Okay. So what do you talk about with your feelings then? Like, do you with friends, with a counselor, like what's the activity that helps you to keep that going?
Maybe I'm just like looking for a freshness from my work. That's probably what keeps me going. And I kind of like a personality, don't really like probably 2 years old of my work. And then looking into back, I will think what I can change. If I do it right now, what I can change. Mm. It's like an old habit of me. So keep want to create new stuff. It's probably the feeling that keep me going on.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward. And also I have this like small goal. And I don't think I ever talk about it. I really want to make a thing that, like, in my style, illustration Wikipedia. Like, let's say the client looking into my work. Okay, did she draw a food? Yes, she did. Did she draw, like, people running? Yes, she did. It's kind of thing that I really want to do. Like, when they look at my food, okay, she did everything.
Yeah, nice. That's really fun. And I think that's so... That's something that Drew always calls out. And I know I've said this on the podcast before, but like clients like to hire you for things they already see in your portfolio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it'd be awesome to literally, it's like a, you know, a dictionary where you have it like alphabetized and you can go to each section and they're like, okay, has she drawn an elephant? Go to E. Yeah, she has. There it is. That'd be awesome.
That's cool.
I was like, I'm thinking about maybe one day, but it's pretty far.
Well, in the same vein, I'm curious if you were going to sit down with another illustrator or someone that was just starting their career in this space and was like, hey, how do I keep my inspiration going? Would you tell them you need to be perpetually unsatisfied with your work? Or what would you tell them to keep going in that vein? Because it sounds like you're constantly looking for that fresh perspective for your own. But like, what would you tell them to like keep them going?
For saying like it's unsatisfied about your work, it's not like really unsatisfied. It's the feeling that you need to keep changing it, make it better. But you're still satisfied right now, which is good. And I would just give suggestion, like be really true to yourself. And I mean, posting online before showing your work, it's like really scary. But I don't think it is the thing that you need to scare about right now. Everyone just posting. You're just doing this. And I mean, even you hate it, just post it, ask for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just be true to yourself.
I think that's fantastic advice for anybody that's just going, because I think there's a lot of imitation that happens, which I think is normal, especially when someone is first starting. But finding your voice, I mean, this is something that Closer and Closer is all about when it comes to the artists on the roster. Like, we encourage that all the time, because we want everybody to have their unique voice and perspective that they can bring not only to their work, but also to the client work and also to the relationships that they're building with those clients. You got to have a perspective to offer up, or else why else are they hiring you? So I think that's fantastic advice to give someone that's first starting.
I don't think imitation is like a really bad idea. It's just that you need to watch out which step you are like really going for. Because I'm coming from like those big company motion studio, and they were like pulling all kinds of reference, and they probably saying this is a good style. Maybe we should just go for it. But when you're really doing that, you're kind of like pulling this away from like a true reference. You're kind of adding your own voice, and it turns out as a whole animation probably looks so different from the original reference. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it makes sense, but
yeah.
Oh, it makes a ton of sense. Austin Kleon talks about stealing like an artist, because he always talks about like the reference points that you can't help. Everyone has a context that they're bringing to their work. It's unavoidable, but it doesn't mean that you can't add your own flavor to it or add your own perspective to it, which then obviously makes it your own, which is a more unique way of approaching anything.
That is a really good book.
It's a very good book. Yep.
Awesome. Well, I think that's all I had for Jachi. Keaton, mm-hmm. did you have anything else?
I really, the only other thing that I was curious about is really, you've obviously been successful. You've obviously enjoyed a ton of work. Is there anything that you, outside of the Wikipedia that you want to do from your work, is there any other things that you would be like, if I've done this, I would call myself successful? Is there anything on the horizon that for you that you really still want to do in your career? Is there like a client? Is there an art installation? Like, is there something out there that you're still like, oh, if I could do that, I think you would feel a little bit more like you've arrived.
Oh, hell yeah. tons of that. Recently, I really want to work with a furniture company.
Oh, okay.
I don't really think there's specific thing like making furniture. It's just like, maybe something I can do with furniture company would be cool. Because I love furniture so much. I have books about chairs.
Oh, wow.
About lights. It's just something fascinating to me.
That's good to know. That's cool.
I love that. Well, as your marketing team, we'll be on the lookout for furniture companies.
Yep. I live in West Michigan, which is where Steelcase, Herman Miller, and Hayworth are. So we might be able to make that work.
Love it. Well, on that note, thank you so much, Jachi, for being here. This was the most fun, as always, chatting with you. And I'm so glad that we kind of got to dive into all of these fun things together and really, really get to know you. And I'm so happy. I don't know. It's just cool to see the evolution from the last time that you were on the podcast to now.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Love it. Of course. I'll close this out with the last question. It's always the same. You probably heard it before, but let the people know where they can find you on the internet. They want more of you.
I think right now I'm just on Instagram, jq.wan, and Behance, just type my name, we'll be there.
Love it.
Awesome. Instagram Behance, people go follow her.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to get the latest episodes. To find out more about how Closer and Closer connects commercial artists with their dream clients, strengthens their careers, and more, head over to our website, www.closerandcloser.co, or sign up for our weekly newsletter, The Dose.